Does the conscious now enjoy the situation? See, not you, not me, but only that which can experience with pleasant feeling. That's how. Learn to understand when time comes, not when you want to do or to have it. Because even there's pleasant feeling right now, if you don't think about it, it's gone completely. But at moment of enjoying, it's not I. It's the feeling and the consciousness which experience an object. Everything is like that from moment to moment. This is the development of understanding, the only way. From listening, considering, and having more confidence, it can condition right understanding of whatever appears. Otherwise, attachment is there, hidden all the time. Who knows? At moment of seeing, it is attached. It arises, it is attached. No one knows. And that is accumulated. So whenever there is seeing or hearing, it's there after seeing and hearing. Even the thinking of what it is with attachment, when there is no understanding. So there is attachment to this because there is idea of what is this, which is seeing. Until the right understanding can see the difference between seeing and thinking. And there can be attachment anytime, anywhere, when there is no panya. But whenever there is panya, there is no attachment, not together.
So you're thinking 1 + 1 = 2 is with attachment. 1 + 1 = 2.
Anything. Before that, see, 1 + 1. Attachment. Yeah. Because there's no self.
When you mention about having pleasant feeling at the moment, it's easy to feel that it is non-self when feeling pleasant feeling, but when it's unpleasant feeling, it seems harder to realize that it's still non-self. It seems like it's self.
What about when there are more conditions to know that unpleasant feeling is not self either? See? So it depends on how many times there is the understanding of what.
Mm-hmm. But you know, on the other hand, they say that aversion is the enemy which comes as an enemy, whereas attachment is the enemy that comes as a friend. So, I mean, there's no rules which is easier.
But because we enjoy the attachment so much and because there's pleasant feeling, no one minds about it.
Aversion is the enemy that comes across as an enemy, whereas attachment is the enemy that comes across as a friend.
So, do you have many friends?
And can you ever be alone? Truly.
Who? Yeah.
Are we all alone?
Oh, really? Where's your friend? Where's your friend? You think that you are alone, but actually, there is a friend with you all the time. They never let you be alone.
Oh, visitor.
Following you around wherever you go. Oh. The conscious.
No?
The attachment.
Attachment.
Good or bad friend, but it's your friend.
Yeah.
Because it never leave you. You like to be together with a friend. Or alone. Is it possible to be alone? And what's the meaning of being alone? Because that which arises has fallen away, no more, from moment to moment. By understanding this, alone with reality which arises and falls away. So be sure whether you like to be alone. Oh, actually, you think that you are alone. Alone with the idea that I am alone. But the I is there. With anything which appears.
Usually when we say that we want to be alone, actually we want to have a different set of friends.
Because you'd never be alone, because they're seeing, hearing, smelling objects through different doorways with you. Alone when there's no idea that there am I. Because actually there's no I.
So there are many friends or visitors arise together, but only one Dhamma can be experienced. So
one at a time.
Yes. So how dangerous those friends or visitors be, or how can those visitors or friends can be understood why actually at that moment not be experienced?
When there is more understanding about whatever appears. Only then, like now. If there is no understanding, you have friends, attachment, after seeing. Your friend is there, ready to join, experiencing that object with attachment. But when there is the precise understanding about reality, then you understand what's meant by being alone in the absolute sense. You think you are alone in the room. No. There's seeing and then attachment. But when there's the understanding, there's nothing permanent at all. Just appear and disappear. You begin to understand what's meant by uncontrollable non-self. because seeing is not you, because it is conditioned to arise and see just that. It cannot do anything else. After that, there is other moments which is not seeing. That's why seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching are so much different from other moments. That's why Buddha said that they are uppatti. Just quite different from moment when there's no seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. There's only memory of them, like in a dream. So now, when they're all gone, it's exactly like a dream.
Lan just asked about upati and nipati. So I don't know what the translation of upati is, but seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, just those cittas, those vipaka cittas are upati. And nipati are all other cittas. So it just distinguishes between upati and nipati. What is the translation of vipati?
I think that if they don't mind the word, but we can understand the meaning. Yeah. It is according to the Pali word. When it's upati, it means that without the eye base and the visible object at that time, which impinges the visible object impinged on the eye base, which can condition seeing. When it's time for kamma to produce result, seeing has to arise, like now. Seeing arises from kamma condition in the past. That's why it's upatti, because there must be eye base and visible object which hasn't fallen away to condition seeing. Well, the other moment, no need to have eye base and the actual visible object at all.
That the upati cittas, these are the ones that, like seeing and hearing, that don't need vitaka to touch the object, but after seeing and hearing, all the other cittas need vitaka in order to experience the object.
So the ideas we have about
being alone or living on one's own or living with another or being independent or not, but actually we can see no matter what the circumstances, there is just citta accompanied by many mental factors. And actually if there is no understanding arising, then in fact there's never any learning to live alone. So the learning to live alone that we talk about is the learning to understand the reality now, otherwise it's always living with those companions like attachment and aversion wherever we go, no matter we go into the quiet forest or sit in silence. In fact, attachment and aversion and ignorance follow one around all the time if there isn't the learning to live alone with understanding.
So panya, right understanding, can understand anything correctly, even what's meant by living alone.
It's not a matter of being concerned how long or when or waiting for anything. It's just whatever one's daily life, like here or going to a restaurant or walking in the rain, there are different realities. And if one has heard and considered, then understanding can arise any time, but unexpectedly, not by trying to have it or waiting for it or trying to speed it up or anything like that.
So, if so, it's like when we
here and there, or it seemed to be not powerful. So it might be more powerful when using a means to develop understanding or experience the reality.
What is the point in one's life? Why do we sit here? Why don't we go walking? If even it rains, we can walk in the rain.
Yeah. We are sitting here to listen and to discuss. It seems that like using the way then will be more powerful, the process of develop understanding or experience the reality will be stronger, more powerful.
And I think the purpose is to understand now. That's the meaning, purpose of life,
just to understand
now.
Actually, at the present moment, one Dhamma does not arise alone. It altogether with many other Dhammas. So how about the...
Can all of them be known at once in a moment?
Yes, only one experience at one moment.
Mm-hmm.
But how about the relationships between the one experience at this moment and other Dhammas? Other realities arise altogether with it.
One can see that or understand that there is seeing and there is attachment. And one learns to understand that attachment cannot arise with seeing because seeing is conditioned by a deed which has been done before. But the accumulation of attachment and aversion always there in the citta, each one. Citta cannot be seen, but it has so many, many accumulation, both wholesome and unwholesome accumulations. So when it's time for anything to arise, it arises by condition. So even seeing does have attachment with it, but after that there is attachment. This can be understood, that no one can have right understanding after seeing to understand seeing without studying or learning to consider what's right and what's wrong and what are those realities. It doesn't mean that we have to experience directly all these reality when there is no conditions to be like that, but just to be able to understand what is what in a day. In a day, before studying, one thinks that there is no attachment after seeing. There is no attachment to seeing at all. But actually, in a day, there's always attachment to whatever appears. To know is better than not knowing the truth, that it's like this. So it's quite very difficult to have no attachment. Only there is panya, and panya is very little comparing with that which has been accumulated for quite a long, long time, the ignorance and the attachment. So now this life is the accumulation of right understanding as much as there are conditions, that's all. And this is the way to have less attachment. Because just for understanding, accumulated. Otherwise you try not to be yourself. There's pleasant feeling. when they're smiling. See? No one at all. And this is the accumulation of understanding. No matter what happens, no self is there. Before we finish lunch, or before we are going to have lunch, I think that we'll talk about body, the body. Is there body right now?
Yes, I think as long as still have the life, still alive, then the body, then still have the conditions for those rupa to become the body still.
That is thinking about body, right? But is the body right now? You have story of body a lot, inside, outside, but is that body right now? Or what is there which you take for body, a body? Without the absolute reality, there's nothing to be taken for body. So what you take for body, what are they?
Since that cannot deny that there is difference between this form and
when outside. You talk like this, what do you mean by this?
The form of the body.
That is a thinking.
It's difficult to have no differentiation that there is no difference between the so-called this and this and
yes.
This space.
So what are they? Now, where is the body? Right now, where is the body?
At one moment, just experience one.
What moment of thinking? There is body only when there's thinking. Because it does not appear at all. But memory keeps on having body from head to toe, like I. But there is no I. Seeing is seeing, hearing is hearing, thinking is thinking. So when you think about body, where is the body? Now. This is the way to eliminate the idea of self, because as long as there is the idea of I, my body from head to toe, it's a moment of taking something for self, my body. Actually, whatever does not appear, where is it? Where's your teeth? You may say, in my mouth. But that is thinking. That's the difference between the understanding of the absolute truth and that which we take that is true or real, like teeth in the mouth. But that is thinking. So where's your teeth? It's like, where's your body? Or where's the body? The idea is the idea of self. The self has many things, the body, the teeth and the eyes, so on. But when it's the absolute truth, nothing arises. When there are conditions for whatever arises, it can arise. As soon as it has arisen, it falls away instantly, unknowingly all the time. So if there is no understanding of this, what's the use of going somewhere, even to be alone, and think about it? By yourself, it's impossible to know about that which does not appear as it's still there. So in order to eradicate the idea of self completely, there must be the understanding of no one, no thing, only the absolute realities just arises and falls away. So the moment of being aware is so short with letting go the idea of self right then, because it's gone. Whatever appears is gone all the time. So when Panya is not strong enough to directly experience the arising and falling away right now, no one can eradicate the idea of self because it's so very deeply rooted.
Why this one and not that one? It's like why headache and not stomach ache, or why an idea of house and not an idea of microphone, because just different realities experienced leading to different ways of thinking about my body or your body or table or chair.
And without reality, there wouldn't be concept of my body, and the reality rises and falls away completely in an instant. Rupa is also just 17 moments of citta. So what body are we talking about?
Cannot call this hand or this foot or this head is the body, but it's the total own rupas which arise at the same time when become this body.
All rupas that arise together condition each other. Rise and fall away instantly.
Yes,
together.
Even it arise and pass away instantly. But and even it's not experienced all at one moment, but actually it's then arise all together independently.
What do you mean by independently? You mean to say the rupa
even,
out there somewhere is
no, I mean
conditioned?
Even now or at one moment can experience only one. Characteristic, yeah, but still many other rupa arise here or
and completely falling away.
Yes, but at that moment, at that one moment, it's arise all together.
You mean to say different kalapas are conditioned to arise together? Or just one kalapa at a time?
One kalapa, only one, or maybe one, only one kalapa can be experienced, but actually many other rupas arise all together.
But one kalapa is conditioned by the different rupas in that particular kalapa, not by another kalapa.
Yes.
So they all rise and fall away completely. Yes, if we. And from theory, we know that what makes up this body is conditioned by utu, by ahara, by citta, by
yes.
Kama.
Each kalapa, or each rupa, but many rupa can be
arising and falling away all the time, but not experienced.
Yes.
Yeah, but what you take for body is because of these rupas, but none of these rupas last more than 17 moments of citta.
But that
so
one
which
moment
body,
many.
What body?
But at one moment there are many.
But fall away.
Who knows that there are many? Like now. How many?
Because
with visible object. How many rupas with visible object?
Of course, if a visible object will be only one.
But there are other rupas arising with visible object. But only visible object is seen.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So who knows the other rupas at moment of seeing?
Even it's unknowing, but it's still there.
From studying, one knows that nothing can arise alone, but only one reality can be object of an experience. And when there is touching, is there a visible object with that rupa? But it cannot be touched.
Yes.
So that can be seen, but not can be touched.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So we learn to understand from one object to another object, that they're different, even they are together. All of them arise and fall away. So where's the body, see? Only in memory. Otherwise, there's no understanding between the self and no self.
What is the awareness? What does the understanding understand?
In terms of object,
the mind, of course, only one at one moment. In terms of the object of the mind to be experienced, of course, only one at the moment.
Mm-hmm. So actually, it's referring to the hardness or the softness that is taken for the body. That actually, there is no body. That it's hardness, softness, temperature. That we're so used to thinking of as my body, and we find so important. Because it's only hardness, softness, temperature, pressure that is experienced through the body sense. So it's only an idea that this is body, just when there is thinking about it as my body. If there's no thought about body, then where is the body?
It's a table. What exists in reality? Just rupas, right? Table itself is just an idea. Now you may think that, but the rupas that make up a table, so what is that? I mean, what, there must be a basis for the perception of table, right? Because there are rupas. Is that the kind of
Yes, even we don't see, we go outside and don't see the table, but the table is still there in the room.
Yeah, but then the question is this thinking due to atamuditi?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You're insisting on making the table real by explaining that it's made of rupas. But actually there are rupas, but table is only an idea. It does not exist.
Its existence is presumed, not known.
That's presumed.
What exists?
Does exist?
Mm-hmm.
Well, only whatever arises at the present.
Not the table.
Not the table. Because table never is experienced at a single moment.
this is the way to, may I use the word, right word, integrate the whole piece that you think that it's something into just one thing appear at a time, and when the other reality arises and being the object, the previous one has gone. This is the only way to eliminate or dissolve the idea of self or thing, of everything. As long as they are together and you take it as one thing, itself or atta nutiti, something permanent. Like table, do you think this table is real?
It might be not permanence, it changed moment from moment, but it seems that at that moment it's there.
That's why most people think that there's many things permanent, the body, the table, all are permanent because they don't know what are there at all. Like we take this for table, but what is the absolute reality which can be known correctly without taking, thinking that it's something there, permanent? The visible object is not the hardness. There is hardness here and here and here and here. So there is the idea of different things, not the understanding of just hardness can be touched. So that idea is kept from life to life, that there is something all the time, permanent.
Even science tells us that this table is mostly space. So there's more space than the other rupas. So what would you choose to take as table, the space or the other rupas?
Yeah, it's really difficult to see all things same. The table is same as the cup or the window or the cheese.
That the table is the same as the cup or the tree. These are different ideas, and like, why are the different ideas about stomach ache and headache? Why are the different ideas about table and cup? Because at this moment, what is touched is different. What is seen is different. There are different rupas experienced at different moments. And sanya marks each moment, each experience, and this leads to different ideas. But actually, if there weren't those different realities, there would be no idea of cup or table.
Lots of thinking. It indicates that all kinds of thinking are conditioned.
And we never know what kind of thinking will come next.
Anytime. Just a moment of life. Like once upon a time, only once in lifetime, everything.
A topic that has come up a little bit, I think it came up between Lan and Jonathan in the van on the way down here. And it came up a little bit between us, and it's a bit of a sensitive topic, and that is about attainments, and if we hear certain teachers have certain attainments, but then they teach that there is a means or special technique, the question was whether that means we're saying there isn't an attainment. Is this what the question was about?
Yeah, maybe in the traditional way, normally when using some technique or methods, it's a means to develop.
Who knows the best? Who knows more than the others?
The Buddha.
Mm-hmm. So what did Buddha say?
Many people know that people also teach about four foundations of mindfulness.
Did Buddha say about anatta?
Yes, of course.
And what does it mean?
Uncontrollable.
Mm-hmm. So many people try to control. And those words is against the teachings. It erased the teachings of the Buddha. From anattaness to be atta. There can be other way to attain what? Ignorance. Because there is no understanding right now, but they try to find the other way to speed up the enlightenment or attainment. That way is not understanding, so it's not right understanding which attain. So what attains when there is no right understanding? Ignorance.
You were talking about intention.
Yes.
Or someone who knows better than the Buddha himself.
Of course not.
Of course not. So study the teachings to find out whether it's true or not. Or there can be other way.
It might be that using some method in between to see the reason, and one way can be start with the reason and to experience it.
Did Buddha say anything about that way? He knew better than all others. Did he say about the other way?
How about the sutta, which is about anapanasati?
Okay. Buddha taught to everyone to have one's own understanding, right? Not his own understanding. But he taught the others to have their own understanding, right?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. What is anapa or breath? He taught. He didn't just say, be mindful on breath, but what is breath?
After some time practice.
No. He didn't say after some time of practice at all. Not in Tipitaka. Begin with intellectual understanding from hearing until it's one's own understanding, which will be conditions for understanding what you call breath.
As I remember the history of practicing a Buddha, he also start with the...
Nachan was just now mentioning starting with intellectual understanding. Do you agree with that? Pariyati pati 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 veda.
Of course.
Right. So when you hear about breath, when you read about breath in the text, there must be some understanding first about what breath is, intellectual understanding.
Pariyati.
So what is it?
Many when can start with that breath, everyone know here.
Not how or start, but what is it? What is it? What is breath?
the breath in and out here.
Is that the teachings of the Buddha, not to understand what breath is, just that which is in and out?
May have understand
is it
after
also
some time
anatta?
Practice.
Is breath also anatta?
Yes.
So, what is a breath which is anatta? Because just breath is atta, because of no understanding what breath is. But when there is the understanding of breath, it is anatta. So without understanding, no practice at all, no understanding, no development of understanding, no pariyatti, so no patipatti and no patibheda. So he didn't say after practice. If you take that after patipatti, then you can understand pariyatti. That's not his teachings. Patipatti cannot arise without pariyatti. Because patipatti in Pali meaning patti is particular and patti is to approach with right understanding. Without right understanding, there is no patipatti. Like now, seeing, who can approach it with understanding that it's just a moment of experiencing visible object? Not just talking about the story of it, but it is now experiencing visible object. At that moment, there is no body, no one. If you still think about the whole body, that is not the understanding of seeing. It's thinking about something else. It's like breath. When there is no understanding, no awareness of it, there is the idea of breath as something, self.
Wrong intellectual understanding leads to wrong practice.
Certainly.
You told me that, Jonathan, I asked you what you and Lala have been discussing in the van, and you mentioned that you've been discussing about Samatha Bhavana now. Development of calmness and samadhi as a state. Do you have anything you'd like to ask about the meaning of what samatha is or samadhi is?
If say the state is just an idea, then nothing to ask anymore.
You mean that you know all?
Of course I don't know all. But just the stories, so cannot ask about the stories.
Would you like to know the truth of what you take for a story?
Of course I want to know, but you say that it's just a story, the thinking of the mind.
You mean that there is no absolute reality?
I think that there might be a...
There might be. Would you like to understand that? The absolute reality, to be more and more understanding of no self. And that is what Buddha taught by himself. Otherwise, one turned away from the teachings. No way to understand what the Buddha taught about this moment, this reality which appears. So there is still the idea of I see people in things, no understanding about what Buddha taught, what he knew. It seems like many people think that he can understand what Buddha taught instantly, but actually, how far apart from one's own understanding and the Buddha's understanding, quite far.
And sometimes it's said that the development of understanding is actually the development of understanding how much ignorance there is. So of course, the more understanding develops, the more apparent it is that there is just so much ignorance and so many of our ideas are wrong, and it's like that for everyone. So actually the fact that you appreciate that a lot of the ideas one has about realities are actually just stories is showing that there's beginning to understand the difference between what is real and what is just an idea. And when we think about how difficult it is, that's actually praising the Buddha's wisdom. Some people on our discussion list, they find it very difficult to, if we say there is no Jonathan or no Sarah or no body or no Buddha, they think that this is very disrespectful. They think that actually the Buddha is still alive and living, and to suggest that actually in reality there never was a Buddha and there's not a Buddha now, they think this is very, very disrespectful indeed. And if we point out it's the Buddha's virtues that we are praising and the great understanding, but actually there never was a being and there isn't a being now. But it's because we all have so much attachment to being and body and things, and our idea of breath, it's very difficult to give up these ideas.
Today, is the teachings of Buddha still left? Yes? Really? Anyone can read Tipitaka without understanding? Is that left or gone from understanding? It's not just the letters, but the reality which he taught. It's left when there is the understanding, not just by reading. When no one studies, no understanding, the teaching's not left anymore. The other teachings always come in. Like practices, walking practice. It's not in Tipitaka. Can that person be smarter than Buddha or not as wise as him at all? We can compare. What did Buddha say? And what is meant by bhavana? Bhavana is not practicing at all. It's not meditating. It's the development of understanding from Pariyatti to Patipatti to Pativeda. For example, who tells us about seeing if it's not Buddha? No teacher talks about seeing but do something instead. So, it depends on you follow who. Not to understand that which appears every day, or do something and thinking that it will lead to understand whatever appears. It's not learning or developing at all. It's hoping or wishing to get something from nothing, no understanding. It means that one believes in ignorance more than understanding. one follows ignorance and attachment, not understanding that ignorance is not self and attachment is not self. But the self take it for method of learning. Should we listen to anything and find out by oneself what's right and what's not right? Instead of not hearing this or not listening to this. I like to listen very much. I listen to all programs on the radio when it's not on the foundation's program. I listen to other programs and see the difference. Like Khun Jakrit, could you tell us more about your life before studying the teachings?
I interested in study Dhamma for a long time and read many books that really well-known monk write a book about Dhamma. And at the first I study the book and think that it's only intellectual understanding. I have to go outside and practice, because some monks said, forget about reading, forget about Tipitaka. Just go in the forest and practice. This is real. So I studied for some time, and then I give up reading and go to the forest. And I ordained for a monk for each year and stay as the monkhood for about a month and stay in the forest and do meditation in the forest, walking, sitting, meditation. Without understanding and without knowing what is the result, but would like to find out that the way that monk asked me to do, just follow without knowing anything. And when in the forest, it's very, very calm and very nice. I don't know that there's a lot of lobha going on in myself, and I get attached to that feeling, present feeling, with calmness. I do breath meditation, breath in and breath out, and in one moment, it happened that I don't feel anything. It's just breath. My body is just a feeling that my body disappears. Just only breath in and out. And I think that this is the right way. I close to
special
enlightenment because no body at all at that time. Just breath, my breath. Going in and out, and it's very nice and very, very calm. But after I listened to Thanachan, Thanachan mentioned that how come you feel that nobody there, because everything is still there, but only thinking that you're not there is not is unreasonable at all. Because as we're just thinking, and a lot of lobha, and not understand anything. But after I listen to Thanachan, I know that I go to the wrong way. all the time, for a long, long time. I saw some person that he practiced meditation a lot, but he cling, he attached to the calmness. But after he did not do the meditation, he go in the outside world, he feel very frustrated because he attached to the calmness. He want to meditate all the time, in the morning, in the evening, but in the daily life, he got frustrated because he attached to the calmness. And that is very long, because you have to be aware all the time, no matter where it is. But that you have to be aware what whenever you do anything, not just to go to meditate, to find the place, the quiet place, and do meditation. So that's wrong. And luckily that I'm not attached to that feeling. And after I listened to Thanachan, I think that's this is very reasonable, because we have the explanation that what is the real truth, and show us that where is the lopa, the attachment, and those are how is it, and we quite understand the reality. It's different to go to the meditation center and know nothing at all. So that's why I give up all practice. At that time, I don't know that what is practice mean as well. We just follow the teaching of the monk or the teacher. And that's about 80 or 90% in Thailand that we have.
In the world, not only in Thailand.
Yes, ma'am.
And I think it's a real hindrance to hearing the truth, especially when there's an idea of having these special experiences or these attainments.
Well, because they don't understand the gradual elimination of ignorance and attachment. They think that they can have it suddenly by the shortcut or by some method. But by having heard about this, from hearing this, one can see how much many people are attached to ignorance. So attached to ignorance, they don't mind, they don't know, they don't want to understand anything at all. Just take what they think as something good, like calmness. They think that it's calm, but in reality it's not calm. Because there is ignorance, attachment, so it cannot be calm. Calm has to be a moment without ignorance, without attachment, and without aversion. So it can be said that at moment of kusala, it's calm. When it's akusala, it's not calm. And there are many degrees or levels of kusala. So there are many degrees of calmness like now. It's calm when there's the understanding, but not to the degree that one can say that it's approaching the very close to what you call jhana. See? It has to go little by little, stage by stage. Especially calmness of that degree need understanding to know that it's real calm or just what you take for calm when it's not calm at all. When there is ignorance, not understand anything, you think that it's calm because it doesn't know anything at all. And you enjoy having such moment, not knowing anything, like breath. it relates to not knowing anything. No understanding of breath from the very beginning. But Buddha taught in details what breath is, to say that breath is conditioned. Breath is just that which conditioned by citta. See, who knows that? When it's the samatha bhavana, the development of calmness, breathing in and out, no understanding the characteristic of breath as rupa at all. It's like ordinary motion, pressure, heat, cold, soft, hard, the same. But it's there conditioned by citta. Without citta, there's no breath at all. And breath is so very short. When panya realizes it, it's the real breath. No breathing in and out. Before that, it arises and falls away instantly. So the idea of breathing in and out is not the vipassana jnana. So there are two different ways. The tranquil meditation and the insight meditation. We use the word meditation, but in reality it is development. The development of calmness and the development of right understanding.
I think you're saying that breath has a different meaning for each of those.
Because without understanding of breath, I'm breathing. I am breathing. But it's not breath which is conditioned by citta. Not that one which arises and falls away. Only panya can see its nature, soft or hard, motion or pressure, heat or cold. Like other heat and cold, but it's not there conditioned by citta.
So it could only be known if those rupas are also already known by
panya, develop panya, no develop selection.
Right. Yep.
Even you don't like to have breath as object, but by conditions, panya experiences it. So you can see the anattaness of everything. Not because you want to, but it's because of conditions. But when you try to breathe in and out, it's you who is trying. You select that method. So it's not object of understanding of the anattaness at all. So it's the teachings which is against the teaching of the Buddha. It erased the teachings of the Buddha. So the teachings will disappear one day, very soon too, sooner than anyone can expect.
Related to this, another subject that came up in the van as we were coming here the other day was samatha bhavana and what it is at the present moment. Do you remember that discussion?
It's not the present moment, so I don't want to ask it about it.
It is, because when citta is wholesome, it's calm. When it's not wholesome, it's not calm. And when kusala moment arises more often, the degree of calmness can appear. we use the word upajara and apana because they're different from just very temporary calmness with each kusala moment. But without kusala moment, calmness cannot be developed to that degree. So panya sees the moment which is wholesome and the moment which is unwholesome. All depends on panya, different degree, different kind, different level of panya. Panya which develops samatha doesn't know anything about the true nature of reality in order to eradicate the idea of self. But it's the self who gains such moment of calm to the degree of rupavacara, arupavacara, but still no understanding of reality as it is, like those before Buddha's time. They develop samatha to the degree of arupajana, araradhapatsa, and the utaka. They are now up in other plane without any understanding of what Buddha taught at all.
But it just arise and pass away instantly, so it's very weak. And it seems that the state of jhana will be much different when it's very intense and much more stronger.
Kusala. It has to be kusala, to be calm.
Yes.
Who knows that this moment is kusala or akusala? With our sati sampajanya, awareness, which is not conditioned by ignorance.
Does it matter if it's only weak kusala, not like jhana? Does it matter?
That when concerned with the thing, I still wonder about the intensity or the frequency or the level of many dhammas like.
Before all, is this moment kusala or akusala? Should be known. Not just speculation. Is seeing kusala wholesome?
Yes, I know seeing is just a present.
Seeing is not kusala, right?
It's just the reason and not
is seeing a kusala?
Excuse me?
Is seeing a kusala?
It's just the reason, so not wholesome or not unwholesome.
And after seeing, kusala or akusala?
It might be one of
my. If there is no understanding, no way to develop calmness.
It seems to be that there is a, even without the understanding, but there is a result.
You know, when people develop calmness because of understanding of what? See, there must be the understanding to be the purpose of developing calmness. Why develop calmness? So what's the purpose of developing calmness?
It can be that. Then attain a state of absorption, then can use that light of wisdom to contemplate dhammas.
Just talk about that which hasn't come because it's not this moment. But before doing anything, if there is no understanding, can it be done correctly? Like what we call calmness or the tranquil meditation or tranquil development, if you don't understand what tranquil is, can there be any development of tranquility or calmness? So there must be understanding before doing anything correctly.
Can I make sure that the whole process will be totally right or totally wrong?
When it's ignorance, can it be right?
Because at the moment of ignorance, it cannot be right.
Mm-hmm. So at moment of understanding, it cannot be wrong.
Yes.
So if there's no understanding of the purpose of why people develop calmness, just follow that which is not calm as calm, it's wrong. So in the old days, those who really developed calmness saw the danger of experiencing sensuous objects. While now, one likes to see, to hear, to taste good food, for instance, is that you see the danger of experiencing all these sensuous objects. Without understanding is always akusala. By knowing that akusala follows the experiencing through eyes, ears, nose, tongue and body, they try to not see, not hear anymore. When citta is so calm, nothing to do with sensuous object. So what can be the object of the development of calmness? Not everything. Like vipassana or the insight development. But one has to learn what are the objects that will condition kusala citta so that the citta does not turn to the objects which will condition akusala. See, without all this understanding, one thing that one is practicing calmness, but no understanding, so it's not calm at all. So what are the objects which citta will be kusala, not turning towards the sensuous object? When it develops, it just keep on thinking. That's why vitakka is the jhana's factor. Right object only.
We had a question from a friend in Sydney, actually the friend you met at our apartment. Mm. And his question was, we had some discussion about objects of calmness and in the beginning and how, for example, in daily life there may be moments of metta, and at these moments the citta is calm, or there may be a reflection on death, for example, in a wholesome way, and at that moment the citta is calm. And his question is, he appreciates that at any moment of dana or sila, the citta is calm, and if there's any understanding of realities, the citta is calm. At any moment of kusala, the citta is calm. If it's not dana, not sila, not the development of understanding of realities, and the object is not one of the 40 objects mentioned, for example, if it's a piece of cake or this drink, can there be any, can it be the object of kusala citta with calm?
Okay.
Not
how can knowing that it's a cake become?
That's what I said. Nothing.
Nothing.
So unless it's just the object of giving, then
it's not so much knowing it's a piece of cake, but he says, is there some way to contemplate that piece of cake?
As what?
Well, I don't know. He says he doesn't.
So it's ignorance. No explanation. No understanding.
He thinks that the piece of cake could be contemplated as just... he said something about, as a concept. he said knowing that a piece of cake is a concept could be...
He said that if there's not attachment...
But what does he mean by concept? See? Just call it concept without any understanding of what concept is.
We answered.
It occurs to me he's confusing concentration with samatha. Just you can concentrate on it and be very focused on it. But samatha
is a different
hierarchy.
He didn't use the word concentrate.
No, because he's confusing the two, I think.
Possibly.
You know, he understands samatha as merely concentration.
That's it. He takes concentration for samatha. Mm. But concentration is concentration.
Yes, it's not samatha.
Kaya pasati and citta pasati, the wholesome jetasikas are calm. That's why it can be pasati sampochanka.
And that's why...
The factor of enlightenment too.
And that's why even in the very beginning can only be certain objects that can condition calm if it's not...
With understanding, not depending on the object,
no,
but depending on
understanding.
That is the right object for calmness. And people cling to ignorance so much, they try not to understand anything, to sit and to... There is no experiences at all, and that is ignorance.
Yes, or they think they just say they like focusing on the breath or following it or something like that, and they say it's not a practice. But
too late to that
moment,
not knowing anything, and they say that it's still it's I don't know what they use the word.
But actually it's there.
They say Ning, Jit Ning. Ning is still.
Still.
Yeah. So it does not know anything about the arising and falling away at that very moment at all.
As you say, it's the concentration, the focusing that is taken for calmness.
Yes.
The focusing with the pleasant feeling.
Right.
It's their own thinking, it's their own teachings that many people follow. Because they do not study the teachings of the Buddha about realities, which can be understood any time as it is. Like seeing is seeing. No self in it.
And when you listen on the radio to other teachings and to all kinds of different views and... Sukhin and I were having a chat about how some people mind a lot if they hear about what they consider is a wrong view or some criticism or something. But when you listen to other teachings and to what you consider to be wrong views, do you mind at all? Does it concern you?
I think that when there is no studying of the teachings, one listen to other teachings and think that it's real, it's true. But when one study the teachings and one understands, one can see the difference. That is not true at all. It's only one's own thought about this and that.
And at that time, you know, when listening to these other ideas, well, just different realities, so actually there can be understanding any time. And it doesn't matter what they think because it's just ignorance anyway.
That's why if one does not study the Buddha's teaching, there is no way to know what teachings is right and what is wrong.
And do you like to listen just to have more idea of what their way of thinking is or what is the purpose of listening?
To know what's right and what's wrong.
Okay.
Yeah.
So even to, you like to listen to other
wrong explanations, mm-hmm. just
to know how far it goes.
It's a condition to reflect on the mm-hmm.
conscience.
No. She likes to listen to wrong.
To know.
Just to know.
Just to know.
What is
how wrong it is.
Sarah mentioned about the questions from the Dhamma friend from Australia. He said that it's just a concept, so he said that he doesn't understand about the concept, so what is the right understanding?
Anyone can say concept and reality, right? But what about the understanding of reality and the understanding of concept? It's not just the word, but it's the understanding. Anyone can say concept. What about the understanding of concept? Only the word concept. What about concept to be known? And when one heard about reality, reality can be listened, can be heard and thinking about the meaning of the word. But what about the reality of it? For example, what is concept? See? How come to be concept? Without reality, can there be any concept? Without seeing and thinking, can there be the idea of something? So there must be reality and thinking, no understanding, taking it for something like. Now, one knows that seeing is just a moment, right? But it arises and falls away in succession with many jittas in between, right? That the other jittas do not appear at all. It seems like only seeing appears, right? And since the arising and falling away of the object which is seen, is there too, not only the seeing. So the object which arises and falls away many, many times formed up the shape and form of different patvi, apo, tejo, the four primary rupas. So it has the nimitta, sign of the hardness, softness, heat and cold, which are there as something. Because you see that we have different eyebrow, different eyes. If the softness and hardness are not different, how can it condition that which appears differently? See? Because there is hardness here and hardness here, arising and falling away, and the hardness and softness, even they are hard and soft, but the different quality and quantity of hardness condition different appearance, like sign or mark like this and sign or mark like this. And this brings up the idea or concept of something without shape and form, without different colors, only black, no shape and form, no idea. What is it? Whether it's table or cup or anything, because no shape, no sign appear at all. But when there's light which can be experienced through eyes with the different shape and form, which are all that which cannot experience arising and falling away differently from here to there, there are different signs, so different concept, memory about it as this is this, and this is this, and this is this. And this is what we mean by concept. But there must be realities which arises and falls away in split seconds to form up the nimitta, or the shape and form, to be known, to be remembered as something permanent. Because the succession of the arising and falling away so rapidly that without panya, nothing can experience that. But the developed panya can see, begin to see the difference between the moment of seeing the object which is seen and the moment of hearing, and the object of hearing are different. And so there are reality, and without understanding, there's just concept about realities as something permanent like this or that. No arising and falling away. But Buddha knew that why that cannot be known, because of ignorance. It covers up the truth. Because they arise and fall away in succession so rapidly, beyond thinking and considering about what's there in reality, like now. What's there at moment of seeing? Only that which can be seen, which is among all this rupa, material. Whenever or wherever there is hardness, there is that which can be seen, while the hardness cannot be seen. But that which arises with it, visible object, is there, impinge on the eyes. So this can appear, but hardness cannot appear. And it bring about concept.
This is the answer to why there is the idea of table or cup or headache or stomach ache. Different experiences of different realities leading to different signs, different concepts, different ideas.
Does a snake have concept? Does a snake have concept? Does it? No snake. But whenever there is experiencing, arising and falling away, there must be that which remembers the sign or the mark of the succession of the arising and falling away of reality without knowing that it arises and falls away, to take it as permanent thing. So snake knows the food, it's food, see? But they don't know how to call it.
They know where to sleep or where their family is or where to go hunting.
And those are concepts. No bird, no human being.
Idea of practice.
No wrong view.
It depends on believing in the teachings of the Buddha or believing in the other's words. That's all.
And just because this is relevant to something on our discussion list, you mentioned about how you listen to other teachings and see how wrong things are and how far away from the Buddha's teaching. And Jagrit mentioned an example of, for example, recently in the Thai session, someone came along and disagreed that the Abhidhamma is the Buddha's teachings and criticized what you were saying and didn't agree and this sort of thing. And when this happens, is it just a condition for wise reflection and compassion, or just depends at the time, but does it concern you at all?
Hearing, just thinking, knowing what's it. Right and what's wrong. And so what about metta? We think of metta, but when time comes, where's metta?
And karuna.
A few minutes ago, you mentioned about the objects to be for the citta to be wholesome. Can you say more about it?
When there's no understanding, is it wholesome?
When there is no understanding, of course, no wholesome.
And wholesome. No understanding of reality, like seeing, at all. It cannot be wholesome. Is ignorance wholesome?
Of course not. Ignorance is not wholesome.
Mm-hmm. So is there understanding after seeing?
It might be or maybe not.
How and why? What conditions that moment to be wholesome or to be unwholesome? For an arahata, see, no doubt about seeing at all. No doubt about any reality. Because panya directly experiences the nature of that which arises and falls away, it has less and less doubt about the path and the nature of reality. In order to have right understanding after seeing, no more clinging, no more wrong view about seeing as I. So there must be the development of understanding from now to know what can experience the nature of reality. Ignorance cannot. And in a day there are ignorance many, many times. Only when there is the understanding from hearing, only that is wholesome because of understanding. And it can develop on and on until right understanding understands when is wholesomeness and when is not wholesome at all. So through not just expectation, speculation, that when this happened, that happened, or something like that. It's only talking, not knowing anything about it. So when we talk about seeing as a reality, at that moment, right understanding begins to see what is real and what is not real. It doesn't mean the seeing is real when there's no seeing. But even right now, seeing is real. No one sees. It's conditioned by understanding this. Gradually, little by little, it gets stronger and stronger, more confidence about the path must be moment of understanding. And at that very moment, you don't have to call it sammasati or right awareness, because without sati, panya cannot understand anything. So one can see the difference between each reality. Like sati is not right understanding, it's not panya. But panya itself cannot arise alone without other factors. It's not just like having just a little understanding and then the self takes it for me, can do. Or can gain such and such understanding just from just a little bit of understanding. Not enough to eliminate the idea of self, which has been accumulated long, long time ago, even today's. There are many different people in the world. Those who have no interest in listening about the truth at all, just live happily. Don't mind when one will die today or tomorrow. It doesn't matter for them, just live. And those who know why that is different reality, like attachment and non-attachment, see? Can anyone have anything at will because one knows that wholesomeness is much better than unwholesomeness, like metta and aversion? What's better? See? Even one says that metta is better than aversion. But when time comes, there's aversion instead of metta. So one can think over it. There must be conditions for anything to arise. The more one knows, one can see what's right and what's wrong, what's the right path and what's the wrong path.
But the development of metta, which knows the value of metta and the danger of aversion, the harm of aversion, does not have to be with right understanding.
There are conditions for metta to arise by accumulation, but to have more metta needs understanding. The more you see that there is no one, no being, only different realities, so you see the value of understanding. So you think if you can share the understanding with the others, it's much better than not talking about this for the others to understand or to know. And that is real metta. Without metta, you cannot do that at all. You think just of yourself.
But metta can be built up also by those
not developed, but it can arise by conditions.
And not developed as samatha bhavana?
Only when there is panya. Like you know that the truth is the truth like this, would you like the others to know like you?
That is someone who has heard the Dhamma.
And that is the development of metta too.
Yes, it is.
With understanding. Yes. Yeah.
But metta itself can be developed without understanding Dhamma.
But not as much.
Not developed at all.
Not purified.
Not purified, but there is.
But why talk about that? Because we've heard the Dhamma, so
right.
We need to be encouraged.
If we've heard the teaching of not self, then it helps to be reminded that even when, like moment of metta, that it's not self,
yes.
It arises by conditions.
Yes.
So we don't need to think of developing metta without, with the panya that is just of the level of knowing kusala from akusala.
Yes, yes. No, but Ajahn was just talking earlier about knowing the truth. And I was wondering whether someone who's developing samatha bhavana can be said to be interested in knowing the truth, because it's just understanding the difference between kusala and kusala.
As me.
As me. So that's not interesting in the truth. And I forgot what followed then.
That's why even the attainment of jhanas in that sense is said to be the wrong way. Wrong practice, because if it's not understanding of Dhamma as anatta, it's not knowing the truth.
And prior to that, I wanted to ask, you were saying that if it's not understanding, I understand that you were referring to what happens to the five senses. If it's not understanding, then it is ignorance.
Understanding what is kusala and what is akusala, that level is also understanding.
Yes, but we're talking about seeing, hearing.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not understanding following the experience of seeing, hearing, touching, then it's ignorance.
When it's akusala.
Then it's akusala. So this means that it leads me to the idea that someone who develops samatha bhavana and does not understand realities, they must be taking all realities for self.
Yes. But that person see the danger of akusala.
But not all. Mm-hmm. Danger of ignorance.
Right.
And here is the right understanding. And this will be conditions to hear more, to understand more. No one can force it to arise.
And it has to begin again and again and again, always has to
begin. Chan, it's not enough, not just because there's not, the understanding is very weak, but it's so easy to have wrong understanding also.
Mm-hmm. Because there are conditions for it. Much stronger.